Welcome to the Graveyard Girls podcast with Amelia and Natasha. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode. It's going to be a joint one today.
Yes.
But before we get into that.
Yes. Today was the day that we were supposed to release an episode.
Yeah, for the story competition.
I don't really know how to put this.
I feel like we're making like a, like, you know when the government have to make like a really bad announcement. Yeah, an apology. I feel like we're kind of doing that. Basically, we're not continuing with the short story competition.
We've had some entries, just not enough for a few episodes.
For the first month, and then I ran it for a few. However, I think partly because we got the plague and I did a really rubbish job. Well, basically, I didn't promote it.
Yeah.
And then I don't think we actually left ourselves enough time for people to send in entries. We had a couple more trickle in, but not enough to make another episode to set it up to run all the entries. Like, we needed like a minimum amount and we haven't reached it, which is partly my fault for not promoting it properly.
So as
a goodwill gesture, because we didn't want it to be like those other people have gone out of the way to put effort in for absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. As a goodwill gesture, we will send each of those people that have sent us an entry, we'll send them out like a little Graveyard Girl sticker, mm-hmm, and a little like thank you and an apology. So yeah, basically we do apologize for stopping that. I think in hindsight I should have given us a bit longer to send stuff in. But also, yeah, even though I was dying of the plague, I probably should have continued to promote the story competition rather than rudely nearly dying.
Yeah, we'll be honest with you. It's a bit difficult running a podcast sometimes.
Yeah, there's so much more, and it's keeping up with the social media and everything else. It's just, nowadays as well, with how social media is, it's so hard to promote everything and everywhere, mm-hmm, if you're not paying for it.
The algorithm is gonna fuck you.
Yeah, it's against us, and the only way we can kind of combat that is to pay for it, but even then it doesn't guarantee that it's gonna reach any of you. And yeah, we're not really in the position to do that either. So yeah, I spend silly hours promoting things and sending it to people, trying to hit people in other countries, and I just didn't do that this time because I wasn't in the headspace to do it. But then I've kind of screwed us all over by not promoting the story competition, so
that is why it is not a thing anymore.
We're just not gonna run the final. So like I do feel we ummed and ahed whether it was the right thing to do, because I feel really bad for the people that have, mm-hmm, sent stuff in, because like they've obviously gone out of their way to put some time in to send the stuff off. But yeah, like I said, we didn't hit the threshold to get enough in, and we ummed and ahed, do we extend it? But then I feel like now, like, I don't know as though we've got enough time to still run it with everything else that we've got planned, that's, or we've already put in place for the podcast to come out. I feel like it'd be too many different things to promote, and even so, we're not gonna be able to promote the story competition in the way we wanted to do it. So
yes,
we've made the decision, we might make it, do a comeback later on at some point or something. We might maybe rerun it end of the year, next year or something. We haven't decided on that yet. So if you still got ideas for it, like maybe something that could crop up later on, I don't know, we haven't kind of properly thought about that. But yeah, this is the apology for not following through. Is that the, mm-hmm, proper way of putting it? So yeah, we won't be doing the ending bit to the story competition. So yeah, sorry about that. I don't really know what else to, I don't think it really is proper like when the person comes out with the,
you've been naughty.
Yeah. And I have to apologize because I've been caught out now. So yeah. Yeah, that's my apology. So rip us to shreds if you want. But please come back and listen to the other episodes.
Yes.
So, like, we're not completely screwed over. I don't want us to be like, what's the thing? Cancelled. That's the
word. Well, I don't think we'll be cancelled. We're not.
I don't know. Someone might take massive offence.
True. We're compensating them with something for their time. It's not as if it's,
yeah,
we've stolen all your money and you're having nothing. This is a free thing.
Yeah, I know it was, but still, I still feel bad because people,
I know,
they've put the effort in.
Yeah. And we thank you for that.
Yeah, I feel a bit guilty for that, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, should we move on to today's episode before I dig us into an even bigger hole? Today, like I said, we're going to do a joint case. And this one, we're basing it around authors and either crimes that they were involved in or crimes they committed.
Yeah.
So who wants to go first?
I think it's your turn to go first this time.
Okay, so I'll go
first. I believe. I could be wrong, I will.
Okay, well,
who cares?
Okay. Well, for mine, I have a British writer for us. Okay. And this author is a lady by the name of Anne Perry. She's a British writer who wrote a series of historical detective fiction. So I felt like it really fitted in nicely with the theme. Okay, it fits the true crime.
Yeah.
And also, you know, she goes on to commit a crime. So.
It's similar with mine. Okay. Mm.
Most famously are the detective, in her stories, are the detective duo Thomas and Charlotte Pitt, who investigate and solve Victorian crime. Thomas Pitt would enter the police after his father had been wrongly accused of poaching and transported to Australia, which obviously basically gets sent abroad. She also wrote another crime.
Sent to Australia for that?
Yeah, that's what used to happen in the UK.
I thought it was just like they stole a horse, I suppose, poaching, yeah.
Yeah, it's a serious crime back then.
Okay. Now their descendants live in Australia.
Yeah. She also wrote another crime series in which the main character, William Monk, became a police officer after a friend was wrongly convicted of a railway fraud.
Okay? Oh, no.
He was a ruthless policeman who quickly climbed his career ladder, creating a whole host of enemies along the way. Mm. Okay. So if you're interested in going to find any books, that's what's up for grabs. But obviously I'm going to go back to the author now and her lifestyle. So Anne Perry was born on the 28th of October 1938. And she died only recently on the 10th of April 2023.
Okay. So very recently.
Yeah.
What does she do?
I'm going to tell you. Okay. Born in London, she was the daughter of a physicist, Henry Rainsford Holm. And at a young age, she contracted tuberculosis and so was sent to both the Caribbean, South Africa and New Zealand in the hopes that the warmer climate would help improve her health.
Oh, very nice.
She rejoined her family years later when her father took a job as a rector of Canterbury University in New Zealand. So it's like they sort of oversee the university. It's not a rector's in like the... Fucking hell! What's the words I want? Not like a this is a rector, not a rector of a church or a church parish. This person's a university person.
Okay.
You know when you're trying to think of the words and I can't think of what it was? She would attend Christ Church High School once she moved there. In 1959, Annie returned to England and became a flight attendant. She would also spend a period of time living in the United States. She would finally settle in Scotland, living with her mother and stepfather. Her biological father now had a rather distinguished scientific career in which he worked on the British hydrogen bomb programme.
Oh, okay.
And both her mum and dad had now split up and divorced. Obviously, the mum's remarried. Anne would now use this time to become a writer. Her first work would be published in 1979. All was going swimmingly well until her real identity was revealed in 1994. Okay. I'll get onto it in a little bit. I've just got a little bit more to add to this before I go back. She would continue to write and in 1998 was even listed in the Times 100 Masters of Crime. Her following story, Heroes, won the 2000 Edgar Award for Best Short Story. She appeared on many chat shows in the following years, including Trisha, which obviously in America, isn't it?
It was here as well.
Was it here as well? Yeah. In 2009, a documentary was made about her life for which she received a Lifetime Achievement Award of the Agatha Award. So, what crime did she commit? Okay. What do you think?
Maybe that is... I'm thinking murder.
You're going down the right lines. Okay.
Or manslaughter, and then she's gone writing under a different name so then people don't relate her to that crime.
Maybe. Okay, so it was a little more than the identity crime, which obviously was uncovered in the 90s. In fact, she changed her name and moved on to possibly hide the fact that as a teenager, she had committed the crime of murder.
Oh.
Okay. So in June 1954, when she was just 15 years old, she was known by her birth name, which was Julia Marion Hume, which was obviously her dad's name. Because I did think, well, where did the Perry come from? The Perry was her stepfather's surname, so she assumed his surname. Okay. Mm. In June, Juliet and her friend Pauline Parker would murder Pauline's mother. So how did this crime come about? Well, Juliet and Pauline were very good friends who never wanted to be separated from each other. However, all of that was threatened when Juliet's parents decided to separate, and obviously her mum would later go on and remarry. Juliet was supposed to go to South Africa to stay with relatives.
Okay.
On the 22nd of June 1954, the pair and Pauline's mother, Honora Repia, went on for a walk in Victoria Park in Christchurch. On this isolated path, Juliet dropped an ornamental stone so that Honora, which was the mother, would retrieve it. Pauline had then planned to hit her mother over the head with half a brick which had been stuffed into a stocking. Okay. The girls presumed that one hard blow would be enough to kill her. In fact, it took over 20 blows Jesus. To kill her mother. The pair stood trial and were found guilty on the 25th of August. And as they were too young for the death penalty, they were detained in prison. The pair would be released separately 5 years later. Okay. It's believed they never saw or contacted each other again. And I was thinking, well, what the hell was the motive for bashing her over the head other than the fact that they were just not going to see each other anymore?
Yeah.
Well, the reason was basically the pair didn't think that Honora, so Pauline's mom, would allow Pauline to go and see Juliet after she'd moved. So they and Juliet's parents, Juliet felt that her parents would feel sorry for Pauline if she didn't have a mum anymore.
So they would let her
move to South Africa with her. So basically they plotted, well, they did kill her. They plotted to kill Pauline's mum.
It's a bit extreme.
So that they could move together as friends. In South Africa. So that was it. Committed a crime at 15 years old.
Crimes like that are plausible because teenagers are like, I can never be separated from you. My life would be over.
She was bounced around so much as a young child that she probably did just want someone to stay with. Like, she wanted some stability.
Yeah.
Obviously, her parents were splitting up and all the other stuff. But I found it quite interesting that she goes on to write, like, crime things.
Yeah.
Out of all the books to decide to write, I mean, is it part of it from experience? Like, I know the book she wrote wasn't necessarily about that. It's, like, wrongfully convicted things. But, like, maybe in her head, like, maybe she didn't think that what she did was a bad thing. And I just thought it was interesting how she decided to go into, like, detective novels and crime things.
If your mum's dead, you can come with me. That's kind of how it works.
that was their mentality.
Okay. I can kind of see where their logic is, but no.
Yeah, I just really liked it.
You can't be separated and then you're always separated because you could never talk to each other again.
So I think maybe if she hadn't moved away, would they have maybe stayed friends if they stayed in the area? I don't know. But they obviously decided to go separate ways. She changed her name. Became Anne Perry instead of Juliet. Which, to be fair, it's such a difference. It's not even like you could accidentally. And I think it's only because she was getting awards for her books that someone was like, oh, let's delve into her history and what she was like as a child. And then they're like, we can't find this person. And then that's when they uncovered her crime.
20 blows.
Yeah.
God.
With a brick in a stocking.
Swing it around.
Yeah. Not very nice.
It was extreme.
Yeah, they really went for it. Yeah. Like, not to say that, like, they should have poisoned her or something, but, like,
I wonder who actually did it. Who?
Pauline did it. So, but Juliet's obviously complicit in it because I feel like Juliet maybe came up with the idea, like, this is what we could do. And obviously, by her dropping the ornamental stone, obviously, Honora would go to pick it up, and then it's easy because she's now not looking. Pauline could then hit her over the head. So it's like, Juliet is the distraction, and then Pauline does the bashing over the head.
Mm.
But, yeah.
I'm just wondering if...
So they're both equally...
They are, but I'm just wondering if, like, she did it once to her mum and then realised it wasn't one enough and then Juliet took over.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't find... Because I was trying to look for more, because I wanted more on it. Because when I was looking for the motive, it just didn't list the motive. And it took me ages to find out that, from other people, that that's what had happened. It took me ages to find that bit. But yeah, I was hoping to find some, like, trial notes from somewhere, but I couldn't. I had to do it based off an article at the time.
Maybe because it's a different country as well.
Yeah.
New Zealand.
Well, that was it. I managed to uncover a newspaper article and obviously they wrote about, like, what had happened in the court and, like, what the defence said. So I had to kind of take it from that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting. But she never spoke about her crime after that. Like, I think she just, like, brushed it under the carpet. Like, people were bringing it up in interviews. She was like, oh, it was a long time ago.
Who is this person? No, that's not me.
Yeah. I thought it was a very interesting one. I just liked it that she also did true crime books. I just felt like it tied in really nicely with this.
Mine also wrote true crime.
Okay. Ooh.
But I wrote it like a week ago, so I can't remember what actually happened.
Okay.
So it will be surprising for us both.
Okay.
I didn't look up the pronunciations of any of these, so good luck.
We're winging it.
Hallior also known as Hanny. Her life was never easy and maybe a little eerie.
Ooh, it's another woman as well. Ooh.
She's not the author.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
On July 15th, 1957, when she was just 9, Hanley discovered the dead body of her 46-year-old mother, Maria. Oh. She had been thrown down the stairs by Hanny's father, who then killed her with a hammer. So the stairs wasn't enough, so killed her with a hammer.
Socked her on the head.
Socked her on the head. Now, I don't know who raised her after this. Maybe a family member, or she was placed into the care of a foster family. Years passed, and Hanny rang a friend one night and told her that she had met an entertaining, funny man named Richard Klinkhammer in Amsterdam.
Oh, what a name! After the way her mother was murdered as well. Like, I know he didn't pick his name.
I don't know, he didn't pick his name,
yeah, but out of all the people, would that not bring back trauma every time? Because then she'd be Mrs. Klinkhammer, and like, would that not bring a trauma every time a letter came through the post?
Probably. Yeah, I didn't connect that.
Yeah, okay.
He was 10 years older than her and also divorced, but she was so in love with him that she was just like...
Like, away with the fairies. She forgot about everything else. Okay.
Hanny wanted to marry Richard and bring him to Ganzedki to start a new life, and in 1978 they actually moved there, so she got her wish. Richard was a former foreign legionnaire, sometimes auditor and part-time author.
Ooh.
His writing career began to take off once they moved. His first book, known in English as Obedient as a Dog, drew heavily on his experience in the French Foreign Legion. And according to the book, the first thing they teach you, he said, is how to kill somebody.
Oh, okay.
The second, how to dispose of a body properly.
Ah.
He later had a collection of short stories published entitled Hotel Red, but I don't know how he's doing.
Is he doing that from prison?
No, he's not in prison yet. He's writing.
Okay, okay.
He's an author. He's not killed anyone yet.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Maybe in the French Legionnaire he might have killed someone, but that's war or not.
Yeah.
Richard might have not been content with his life in Ganzigi, wherever they live together. He would often drink, which turned violent, and he hit Hanny.
Oh.
She would go to stay with others for a while after these outbursts. After one such occasion, Hanny didn't return, and after about 6 days, Richard reported her missing.
Mm.
Suspicion fell upon Richard, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But the police could find no evidence of a crime or any sign of Hanny anywhere. They placed Richard into a cell and searched their home, their garden, everywhere, but they couldn't find anything.
Well, whoever taught him in the army taught him a good job on those first two lessons.
Mm-hmm. Locals suspected him for years, but nothing could be done. And however strong the authorities' suspicions were, there could not be a murder inquiry without a body.
Yeah.
Richard lived on at their house for several years, writing and drinking heavily. But slowly the suspicion that he had killed his missing wife began to filter out beyond their close-knit community. Television programs started to invite Richard to make guest appearances.
Mm.
There was an interview with him on Birds of Paradise, which is a series about eccentrics. A year after his wife disappeared without a trace in 1991, Richard visited his publisher with a manuscript which he might have written to use the popularity of what he was being accused of to write more books. Maybe, but it's very macabre. And not to mention highly suspicious.
Mm.
So the novel is called Wednesday Mince Day. It was a grisly, detailed exploration of 7 ways of which Richard could conceivably have killed his wife.
Fucking hell.
Mm. In one of the scenarios set out in the book, he disposes of her body by pushing her flesh through a mincer and feeding it to pigeons. His publishers...
I mean, that is a good way to get the body.
His publishers didn't like this idea, so it was never released.
Oh, but murmurs, I do.
But murmurs of this circulated around the community.
Mm.
In 1977, Richard moved to Amsterdam with their new girlfriend.
Mm. Oh, she doesn't mysteriously disappear, does she?
There, he surfaced on the literary party circuit, apparently enjoying his new position as a minor court figure among second-tier crime writers. Now, in 2000, new people lived in the house that he once shared with his wife.
Ah, did he not feed all of her to the pigeons?
But they wanted to remove the old shed, as they saw no need for it. While breaking up the concrete laid on the floor of the shed, the workmen turned up a skull.
Uh-oh.
Buried in a piece of clay a few metres below the surface. They went on to uncover, which a forensic scientist quickly identified from dental records to be the remains of Hanny Klinkhammer. That evening, Richard Klinkhammer, 62, was arrested in Amsterdam. If Richard's account can be trusted, this is how Hanny was killed. On January 31st, 1991, when she was 43, 3 years younger than her mum was killed.
Oh.
He beat her to death with what police believe to have been some kind of wooden bat or handle. Then he dug a hole in the shed, dumped her in it, filled it with concrete. He then used compost to disguise the smell of rotting corpse. Mm. And 6 years later, he then reported her missing to the police as a thing.
Well,
so he went to jail.
I feel like he should have minced her, like in that story.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good way to get rid of a body, though, is that? I considered that.
Just feed the person to the pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the other ways. I just saw that and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I quite like that.
Like, would pigeons eat meat? I know crows eat, but do pigeons eat flesh?
Well, they must do. I mean, technically, birds like pick up worms, don't they? Pigeons are just... The only reason we see them eating other stuff is because we feed them like idiots. Well, not us personally, but like people give them food, don't they, in town?
Yeah.
So they've adapted their diet. But if we weren't giving them like fast food and crap, they'd eat worms, right? Like other birds.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, true, I guess. If you mince it so it looks like a worm. Yeah. So, yeah. I've never
even said that. This is actually quite a good idea. You know when we did that episode on how to murder?
Don't murder anyone. Yes, I don't... They didn't publish anything, so I don't know what the other ways to...
That's a bit of a shame. I thought that would have made a really good book. Why didn't they do it?
Because his publisher was just like, no, this is too graphic, we can't...
Yeah, but... Surely we weren't that, like...
It's like O.J. Simpson. He was obviously accused of murdering his wife and her new partner. And then a few years later, after he got out of jail, I can't remember, he wrote a book of like, if I did it. But he made the if really small. It's like, I killed them.
Yeah.
If I did it, this is how it
sells,
did it.
It sells more stories.
That's why he's probably like failing as an author at this point. So he's using that, what he's known for. He'd be like, this is how I could have killed her.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just like, no, this is really shit. We can't publish this.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's quite interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I've really liked this little author theme. I thought it was a good way to tie it all in with the whole podcasting thing and then book stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it fitted in quite nicely.
I didn't correlate the hammer and the clink hammer.
Yeah, no, that was a bit...
Yeah.
Maybe she's so in love with him. She was that blindsided by him. They do say love is blind, don't they? So she was that.
It might have been a hammer. They don't know what she was killed with.
Yeah, because they thought it wasn't bad. But yeah. Oh, can you imagine if that was the way she went? Maybe he did push her down. If I was him, I'd have like killed her in the same way that mum was killed. Three
years younger than her mum when her mum was killed.
It's not very nice.
No, it's weird that that's why I said it was eerie. Yeah, imagine like you dying the way your mum
is exactly the same way her mum went.
Yeah,
It's very strange. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little bit distracted about the whole mincing and feeding them to the pigeons. I think it's quite a clever idea. If anyone, I'm very distracted.
Don't mince anyone, please.
Yes. We're not condoning. Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
We're not condoning murder. But yeah, I think that's it for this episode, pretty much. If anyone has any cases they want us to cover, feel free to send them to us and we'll have a little look.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, in the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.